I thought maybe we could start there with your sort of Kenai Peninsula bona fides, as it were.
I spent 12 years on the Kenai Peninsula, 12 years in Full.net, to be precise. And I have two sons. They both graduated from Full.net High School. And I used to be in tourism down on the Kenai Peninsula. I was at one time the director of the Kenai Visitors and Cultural Center for about 5 years. And those were very special times for me to be a part of the Kenai. I still go to the Kenai Peninsula all the time. So,
well, very,
a very special place.
Very good to hear, and so cool that you're still kind of sticking around the area and still doing some really interesting work. You know, I have to be honest, I hadn't ever heard of Thomas Merton. In doing a little bit of research, I guess maybe the first question I have is to ask you to explain briefly kind of why this this Trappist monk, a prolific author of poetry and many other things, explain a little bit maybe why you were interested in his work and specifically his time in Alaska.
You know, don't be embarrassed by that. There's so many people who don't know who Thomas Merton is, but there's also a giant group of people who are familiar with him. So either you know him very well or you've never heard of him. So in brief, he is probably considered the most famous monk in American history, even though he wasn't born in America. He was born in France, but he studied at Columbia University, graduated from there. And he's, as you said, prolific writer. That was his first intention in life, was to be a writer. So he went to Columbia University, I'm giving you a very short version, graduated with a master's degree in English, got a job in academia, tried to become a novelist. But at the same time, he was going through a spiritual transformation and had read a lot of books and had a lot of discussions. Anyway, when he was in his early 20s, he had a spiritual awakening and a conversion to Catholicism. And, you know, what happens is he gives up his job as a young professor. He gives away all of his material possessions. He decides to join a very strict, austere religious order called the Cistercians of the Strict Observance, otherwise known as the Trappists. He goes to Kentucky after living in New York City and Western New York City, and he goes to this abbey and becomes a novice and spends the rest of his life in the monastery for 27 years. Continues his interest in writing as a monk, and a book that really put him on the world stage was his very famous spiritual autobiography, The Seven Story Mountain. And that came out in 1948.
I wanted to kind of cut forward a little bit. His time in Alaska, part of what he left behind, a very, as I understand, a very detailed set of journals, and was very, very dedicated to keeping journals, took a lot of photographs, especially when he was in Alaska. And that's that seems kind of fortunate for us that we can learn some more of his stories beyond just the writing that he produced.
That's right. And see, the interesting thing is that in 1968, so right now, this is the time, 50 years ago, when he left Kentucky on his big global trip, he also came to Alaska. And he spent 17 days here. He kept this journal of places he went in Alaska, and he made notations. He was very, very busy when he was in Alaska. He took photos from the locations around Alaska he visited. He flew over mountain ranges. He went to Dillingham, Juneau, Yakutat, Cordova, all over South Central. He talks about Mount Readout in his journal. Anyway, that journal, though, wasn't published until 25 years after his death, as were most of his journals. And so the interesting story is that Alaska was one of the last places on Earth he saw, because, in fact, about a little over 2 months later, after his visit to Alaska, the sojourn he took here, the talks he did to nuns and, with nuns and priests and chaplains, two months later, he was dead, age 53. So, so the Alaska Journal now, 50 years later, is really interesting. You know, I have said this and written this, I believe he would have come back to Alaska. One of the reasons that he was here, besides the fact that it was tacked on to an Asian trip, was that he was searching for another location outside of Kentucky to be more of a true hermit. than he was at the monastery and in his own private hut that he lived in. Alaska was, you know, sort of on his hermit's hits list. Merton is like, he's such a fascinating and pivotal figure in the 20th century. And he's like a monk for all ages and a monk for all people. He just crossed all the boundaries as far as faith goes. He was interested in Russian Orthodoxy and Judaism. And he read Protestant theologians, but especially interested in Buddhism. I mean, he was a man way ahead of his time, you know, as far as having an open mind and having a dialogue with all different kinds of people and being a lifelong learner. And, you know, he had a lot of important things to say.